This one's going to be thankful. And going to take a moment. This is our third component of what I call the believer's responsibility. But I've also said this. These three things that we've dealt with in Treasures and Thessalonians, and we could have done a lot more, and will one day. These are three commands of the innermost recesses of the redeemed heart. It's great to have Bible knowledge. It's great to have all your doctrinal T's crossed and your doctrinal I's dotted. But you and I must be something. This is not like joining the Boy Scouts. When you get saved, there are to be life changes. We are to be changed. Whether we change ourselves, we are to be changed. The Holy Spirit comes to live within us. So these three things, and go ahead and if you got them, call out. I'm not sure what all I've given you. Put the three Thessalonian verses. Yeah, there you go. Here's the three things that we've dealt with, counting tonight. In three consecutive verses in 1 Thessalonians, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and tonight in everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so I want you to see these three things. This really is, think about those three. We called it be happy, be prayerful, and be grateful or be thankful. This is the nature of a believer. This should show in our life. When we are not that, we have a disconnect. Something's robbing us of that. When we can't rejoice, I chose to call that happy because people don't want to call it happy. Remember what I said? People want to call it rejoice because they think rejoice means there's some kind of an emotion that's down there someplace, but I'm unhappy. No, it's happy. And you say, people say, well, but happy comes from happenings. That's correct. And rejoice comes from happenings, Christian happenings. What's happened to us, what's happening to us, and what is going to happen to us should cause us to be happy or rejoice evermore. Now, the command, be happy, be prayerful, be thankful. I want you to see the scope, because everybody wants to argue about the scope. The scope of this is evermore without ceasing in everything. And so we want to make excuses. Well, I just can't rejoice because of what happened to me at work. It says rejoice evermore. In the Greek, literally, it says when, every when. Rejoice every when. So if you're going to ask the question, well, when should I rejoice? Every when. Now, it doesn't fall off the tongue too well. In the Greek, it does. You rejoice every when. And so we always, well, I don't know what it is. It's just our fallen nature, I guess. And I think some of us, because we don't experience this. So we want to find exceptions. I want to find an exception in my life on why I'm not happy. Because preacher just told me I should be as a believer, and you should be. We get muddled up in this world, and we get drawn away from the... All you have to do is watch the news for 10 minutes, and you have enough not to be happy. And that's what happens. We get distracted from reality. The news is not reality, folks. The news is going to happen. War may break out. We may have open borders. We may have who knows what. Let me tell you something. That's not really reality. Reality is what's going on behind the scenes. You and I, if you're in here tonight, you know you're saved. We are believers saved by the blood of Christ, kept by His grace, and we are headed for eternity regardless of what happens here. We also have a knowledge, and one reason, see, some of us are old. Some of you are older than I am. That's hard to believe. No, I'm kidding. No one here is older than I am. So some of us look at our country and we wonder if maybe I'm reacting this way just because I'm a redneck, because I grew up in a different age. I grew up in a different America. I grew up in different patriotism. And so maybe I'm just feeling this way because that's not the good old way. No, that's not it. We're looking at people making stupid decisions because they're making decisions in darkness. They do not know. I mean, honestly, so we could actually have some mercy on them. They do not know what they're doing. It is that bad. And so if we get caught into that, no, we're not going to rejoice. But when we understand, listen, we're looking for a better country. I love this country. That makes me sad what's happening. But I'm looking for a better country. I'm looking for a kingdom. thousand years when this planet's going to be restored, and the rule is going to be righteous rule, not the rule of the people. All right? And so what happens? So then pray without ceasing. You can pray without ceasing. Say, well, yeah, I've got to stop and talk. So that's not what it means. Don't ever give up on prayer. Don't ever give up. Don't ever stop praying for 20 years for that person in your family you want saved. Don't ever stop that. Jesus said he taught a parable that men should always pray and faint not. And you ought to be praying. I mean, when you know something? When you have the opportunity to think what you can think, then pray. See, sometimes you're not able to think. Sometimes you're going down the freeway and someone cuts you off. You got to think about survival. Okay? Other times when you're just driving normally, you've got some time to think. Instead of thinking about the Women's World Cup Championship, pray. Minute prayers. And those little ones, I walk 2 miles every day. And it's just a good time to pray. And I don't pray that whole 45 minutes. But I find myself things coming to me. Oh, by the way, Albert's driving to California. I need to pray for Albert. That is praying without ceasing. I'm not saying I always do that. I'm just trying to explain to you. I'm not using me as an example. But I want you to know the scope is doable. You should not only be praying in some prayer closet. Now, that's good that you have a prayer closet. Some people don't have a prayer closet. That's a private place you go to pray, wherever it happens to be. It could be your office at work, your room at house, whatever. But you can't afford just to pray in a prayer closet. You can't afford just to pray on prayer meeting night here at 6:30. We've got to pray as individuals and without ceasing. So I want you to see the scope. And then we add to the scope tonight everything. Everything. It's exhaustive, including all possibilities. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you see what's wrong with us, why we immediately go to exceptions? You mean everything? I don't mean it. Paul meant it. Holy Spirit meant it. You mean to tell me that everything that happens to me, I'm to give thanks for? It's exactly what Paul's saying. When he says everything, that word means everything. There's not an asterisk that says, check this for the bad things you don't need to be thankful for. He said, well, that's pretty hard to do. It takes a spiritual prayer. That's why I'm saying these three things come from the innermost recesses of the Christian heart. Now, I think doctrine's wonderful. We've got to have it. But there's something about these things, life-changing, that should convict us. I should be convicted when I hear doctrine that's wrong. I should be convicted when I hear doctrine that shows I'm wrong. But I should be convicted when my life doesn't match up to these three things that are our inner soul. So tonight we're going to deal with be thankful. Being thankful is expressing what? Gratitude. If you're not thankful, you're not grateful. You've heard people say, are you ingrate? I think I heard my mom call me that once. As a matter of fact, I think that's where that word just came from, all right? And so a lack of thanksgiving is a lack of gratitude, and I'm motivated. It's contagious. It's passed on from one generation to another. Let me say to you, most of you in this room are beyond child-raising time. You may be influencing your grandchildren. I don't know. I believe this is a great checklist for the condition of your children. They should be happy, they should be prayerful, and they should be grateful. And that's a good task for you to work on. And you say, well, yeah, how do you keep them happy? Well, first thing you do is keep them away from all the things that TV tells them to buy, and try to keep them away from people that have everything that they don't need. I mean, there's some things we have to work on, but I'm just saying, here's a goal for you. Take a look at your kids. Man, does he a happy... Can kids pray? Man, they're never going to pray if you don't teach them. That's up to you. You've got to teach them to pray. If you don't pray, they're never going to pray. You've got to teach them to pray. Just like Jesus' disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And so, what a great goal to see your children grow up as joyful, happy kids, prayerful kids, and grateful, thankful kids. Anytime one of your children gets anything and doesn't immediately thank somebody, They should scrape themselves off the wall. No, I'm kidding. Okay. Are you guys awake tonight? Okay. Try not to make you too bad, too mad. Okay. So anyway, we're going to look at the Greek word. We always have to do that a little bit. Eucharisteo, it's up here. And if you look at it, you can kind of see the Eucharist is almost spelled in that. And it's pronounced as Eucharisteo. But English Eucharist comes from that. We know what the Eucharist is. The Eucharist, we don't call it much that in a Baptist church. We call it the Lord's Supper. Eucharist is kind of a Catholic term, but it's a fair term. And actually, it's a good term. It's a remembrance of what Jesus did for us. So the whole Lord's Supper is a thankful time. It's a thanks that he had his body crucified for us and shed his blood for us. It comes, the Eucharist comes from that word, to give you an idea. Eucharisteo. There are four things I want you to look at tonight, and we'll get through them quickly. There's not a lot of information on these. I'll tell you honestly, you could do an entire series on being thankful. There's so many areas to come in from, so many things to consider. So when I'm teaching this, you got to have to kind of decide, well, how do you want to approach it? So I want to give you four things that I want you to acknowledge, okay? The first is this. I want you to acknowledge the benefit comes from everything. Now, what's the benefit? Well, the benefit means something you're thankful for, all right? And you say, well, yeah, well, that means my sickness isn't a benefit. Yes, it is. Everything that happens to you as a believer under the care of a loving Father, everything is a benefit to you. We just don't recognize it as a benefit. That's why faith is so involved in this. This is why we must do this, honestly, when we don't feel like doing it. Joanne and I didn't feel like doing it this week. I had a doctor's appointment. It went well. And then we went someplace and the car was dirty. So we went by Mr. Car Wash in Rio Rancho. And we always take a couple of towels with us to dry it off, do a little better job. And man, we're out there just drying it off and on this and that and the other thing. And locked every key we had in the car. Her set and my set. At the moment, I found no good in that. All right. But it did turn out to be good. We met a lady next to us that's a believer but not going to church and admitted that she should be going to church. And I agreed with her. But she was very nice. I mean, my billfold, my cell, everything. Everything was in the car. I mean, my AAA card was in the car. So when I called AAA, they said, we'd like to have your number. I said, I can't give you my number. It's locked in my car. All right. And so she let us use her cell phone and we waited about 45 minutes. So anyway, that's what I mean about the benefit. So I wouldn't have said, wow, what a benefit. We locked the keys in the car today. But that's the mentality. Joanne, first thing she said, I wonder what the Lord's keeping us from. Maybe there's a massive accident on 528 or something. I don't know. I've had that happen to me. I hope you've experienced something like that, where you see the Lord got you there quicker or held you back for a benefit. So anyway, I want you to acknowledge the benefit comes from everything. In Romans 8:28, I want you to see some things because you know what this Romans 8:28 is the key. It's definitely the key for these three things from our depths of our heart. It's definitely the key verse. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I've put all things in red because it's the exact same Greek word that we're to give thanks for. In everything, give thanks. It's the exact same Greek word. It's a little bitty word. P-A-S. Pause. Okay? I didn't give that to you, Dolly. Everything. Pause. It's a Greek word, small Greek word, three letters. But here's how it can be brought into English. Each, every, any, all, the whole, everyone, all things, everything. The exact same word that says we know all things work together for good and we still want to argue about that. Especially a non-mature Christian wants to argue about that. And by the way, I was serious. Sunday morning, by the way, it's my last Sunday to preach. Preacher will be back. Thank the Lord. And I am preaching on babies say the cutest things. I really am. That's what I said. That's my message. I didn't want to do it the first time I preached because I might not be able to preach after I do that. So it's the last message. Babies say the cutest things. So shouldn't offend you at all. All right. But what I'm saying is we argue about that. I mean, we just have been brought up where there is never, in psychology we're taught, it's never all or never, never. There's no such thing as all or never. And we're taught not to say those things. We're taught not to say never or say all because those things don't exist. Well, wait a minute. In the Word of God, it does exist. And in my life as a Christian, it exists. Now, listen, it doesn't say everything's good. You've heard this before. I'm not really even here to preach Romans 8:28. It doesn't say all things are good. It just says it works together to good if you love the Lord. If you're the called according to His purpose. That's a term for believers. That's a term for believers, all right? Everything, including a spanking. Nobody, I never went to my dad and said, Dad, you know what, I haven't done anything wrong, but I just need a spanking. I never did that. And so we're not going to ask the Lord to do that. But when my dad spanked me, I didn't realize then what it was doing for me. And it helped me. It helped me in my life to recognize some things. It helped me as a father later to recognize some things. Spanking is never joyous, it's grievous. When that happens, we know all things work together for good. Doesn't seem like it, but it does. I put that up for this reason. It's the same Greek word. You and I buy in on all things work together for good. But sometimes we don't buy in on give thanks for everything. It's the exact same word. Then if you look at John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I've highlighted whosoever, or bold whosoever. It's the exact same word. Pas, P-A-S. It's the exact same word that in our verse tonight says, in everything give thanks. In everything. It's the exact same word. Whosoever. What's whosoever mean? Everybody but women? Everybody but little kids? Everybody but people from Europe? No. When we try to lead someone to the Lord, we say that's a blank in the Bible for your name to be written in. It's exactly how we describe that. Whosoever is God's way, just to write a blank and put your name in that blank. Whoever, we know that, don't we? See, we won't argue with that. We know that. We know that if Hitler would have called on Christ, he'd have been saved. Now, confident that he didn't, confident that he's not saved, okay? So don't go to seed on that. I'm just saying there is nobody restricted from that whosoever. It's the same Greek word that's used tonight in everything give thanks. And we've got to get used to it, and we've got to get... If I'm going to teach my kids to say thanks, I'm going to correct them every time they receive something and don't say thanks. I don't care whether it's from parents, grandparents, or the next door neighbor. We need to do the same thing to ourselves. We need to be the most gracious, grateful, thankful people on this planet, regardless of who the president is or who the president will become. Jesus' death was seen as a tragedy, wasn't it? The greatest thing could have ever happened to mankind. It was just seen as a tragedy. But it was not a tragedy. It was painful. It was harsh. But it was the greatest thing that ever happened to mankind. Else we would never have a remedy for our sin. And so we can give thanks for all things. And unfortunately, the world is only thankful for the good and obviously beneficial things. We should be different than that. All right. In fact, our real test is it's easy. It's easy to give thanks for the good things. It's easy to give thanks for the beneficial things. It's easy to give thanks when someone gives you a gift. Not so easy to give thanks when someone comes up and tells you you're stupid. So I don't know if I can give thanks for that. Deal with the verse. Okay, so I want you to acknowledge the benefit comes from everything. Secondly, I want you to acknowledge the benefit comes from without. All right? Give thanks implies we had nothing to do with it. All right? Give thanks means that something has worked upon us that we had nothing to do with. Now, I know you can go to seed on this, but I want it to be directed away from ourselves. And I'll tell you why in just a moment. So I understand that I could work real hard and I could get a raise and I might want to take the temptation to praise myself because I worked hard and got the raise, but I didn't give myself the raise. And actually, as a believer, my boss didn't give me the raise either. God gave me the raise. So in those things where you and I want to make the exceptions, I challenge you, find your way out of the exception. All right? And so the benefit that we're talking about, that we're going to give thanks for, comes from without. It's to give thanks, not receive thanks. Big difference. If we're receiving thanks, we've been beneficial to someone. And by the way, I don't believe that Paul is just talking about thanking God. When I said I think we ought to be the most grateful, thankful people on the planet, heaven help us if we can't be polite and have good manners. Heaven help us if someone does for something for us and we are so arrogant that we think we deserve it and don't say thank you. So I'm not saying just return thanks to God. That's the obvious first interpretation of the scripture. I believe Paul goes far beyond that. You and I should be the most grateful, appreciative, thankful people on the planet. And people should see that in our lives. So this encourages reliance on an admission of God's providence in our life also. So you've heard, we're in the era of the self-made man. All right? And so I think I've got a quote up here from Henry Clay, right? Okay. And Abraham Lincoln, too. So self-made man is a classic phrase coined February 2nd, 1832. Henry Clay, United States Senate. He was a senator from Kentucky. He later became Secretary of State. And he coined this word, the self-made man. Let me give you the definition of it. Listen to this. Self-made men are the men who owe little or nothing to birth, relationship, friendly surroundings, to wealth inherited, or to early approved means of education, who are what they are, without the aid of any of the favoring conditions by which other men usually rise in the world and achieve great results. Okay, I understand what Henry Clay is talking about. In America, these are known as self-made men. You and I, from the Christian perspective, there's no such thing as a self-made man or woman. We're just not. You can't do it. Now, I'm telling you right now, I'm teaching in my Sunday school class on the seven virtues that we're to add to our Christian life. And I'm going to tell you something. Without the Holy Spirit working in your submission, you can't do it. And the lost person can't do it at all. We've got to submit to some principles of God to work some of these things into our life. So Henry Clay, he's an honorable man. I'm not throwing stones at him. But then look at what our 16th president said. And even next to my notes, I wrote wow. I wrote wow because when I read this from 1863, wonder what he would say today. Read the quote with me. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation ever has grown, though we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace, multiplied and enriched us and strengthened us, and we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Those are great words, folks. If they applied in 1863, I'll tell you what, they doubly apply today. We just believe that we've done these things and we're so foolish to believe that we just keep on doing it and everything's going to turn out well. Okay, so we've acknowledged what? Benefit comes from everything. We acknowledge that this benefit comes from without us, not within us. I mean, not of our own doing, okay? The third thing I want us to acknowledge is the benefit of obeying God's will. Now, I want you to look, first of all, at 2 Timothy, and it's a lengthy scripture, but I only put it up for one reason. We really wouldn't have to read it all, but you see a key word in there. We're talking about thankfulness. In this group, there are some people that are unthankful. That's not us. Look at this group. Also knowing in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. The impression on me, though, is what's included in there. Just in case you and I don't think unthankfulness is a sin or something to be avoided, I want you to see the company. You don't want company with any of that. I don't want company with any of that. Why would I want company to be unthankful? Why would I want to be known as an unthankful person? All right? And so we find in our scripture that when Paul writes this, he says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is the will of God for people who are in Jesus. This concerns you. It's God's will for you. How often do we plead and search for the unrevealed will of God in our life? You know, there's a lot of revealed will in this scripture, and this is one of them. And so, you know, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might be able to prove what is the good, acceptable, perfect will of God." It's one of Pastor's favorite verses. It's a tremendous verse. It tells us how to seek out the will of God. We use that all the time because you and I as believers, one thing we should be concerned with constantly is the will of God for our life. But then we come to something as simple as this text tonight, and we don't pay any attention to it. Now, I'm not saying you. I'm just saying Christianity in general. We're always looking for, "Oh, I'd like to know what God's will is. Should I move to Alabama? Oh, I'd like to know what God's will is. Should I buy this house or this car? Should I buy this third car? Should I buy this mansion? Should I take a job over here? Should I work?" And there's nothing wrong with that. You ought to be praying for all that. If you're sincere, yes. But we agonize over that. We don't seem to agonize over giving thanks and everything. It's equally the will of God. It's equally the will of God as it is the will of God where you work, who you marry, where you live. It's equally the will of God. This is the will of God concerning Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so acknowledge the benefit of the will of God in our life. And I wrote a note on here. I don't know if I'd have. Someone tell me to do it. Oh, you're not going to tell me to do it, are you? Oh, well, I'm going to tell you something happened this week, and I don't have any recourse. The ungodly cannot be thankful for the Confederacy because they cannot see God's hand in it. Do you know what the Confederacy is? It's the southern states of the United States that had slavery. Our country is going to be ripped apart because once upon a time our country had slavery. The ungodly cannot be thankful for the Confederacy of the United States because it defended slavery. And so now we're going to try to rewrite the whole history. So the other day, Nike was coming out. It was going to be released on the 4th of July. Sneakers. Great looking pair of sneakers, red, white, and blue. On the back heel was the Betsy Ross flag, the 13 circles. Have you seen? Are you up with me? Colin Kaepernick talked to them, and they pulled the whole thing because the Betsy Ross flag represents 13 colonies which believed in slavery. So the governor, Doug Ducey of Arizona, said, "I'm embarrassed for Nike." And so he ordered his echelon, whoever the people are that do this, get a hold of Nike, and we are going to resend all, what they call it, economic incentives to build your factory in Goodyear, just outside Phoenix. Are you with me? So since Nike did that, and you know what? So what Nike is saying is, We just don't believe in the 13 colonies. We don't believe in the Bessie Ross flag. We don't believe in it because some ex-pitiful quarterback from the Giants has decided to turn against America, and he's influenced Nike. So Nike pulled this whole thing. The governor of Arizona at Nike was going to come into Goodyear, if you've ever been over there, build a plant. Well, that's revenue. The governor of Arizona said, we will give you no incentives to build here. We're embarrassed for you. But not our governor. Our governor immediately told her people, call Nike, tell them we want them here. I would have to suppose our governor doesn't get a rip about the American flag or what's happened in our country. That's where we are today. Now, I don't mean to be political to you, but what I want you to understand is the ungodly cannot be thankful for anything because they do not see God's hand in anything. Let me tell you, you search it out. God's hand was in the development of this country. God's hand was in the development of slavery in this country. God's hand was in the doing away with slavery in this country. You guys can stone me if you want. It looks like you'd like to right about now. But that's maybe why we can't be thankful for everything, because we just are thankful for the things we understand. That's a pitiful thing. I'm embarrassed for our governor. On the heels of a governor that stood up and said, Nike, we don't want you. If you don't care for the American flag, if you don't care for our 13 colonies that founded this country, we don't care for you. We don't want you in our state. To have our governor immediately say, get a hold of them, we'll give them incentives to come. See, folks, you know what? It's all about money. But that's how the world works. It's all about money. Okay. Well, the fourth thing I want you to acknowledge, that this benefit can be corrupted. There are things that keep us from giving thanks or being grateful. I'm going to give you six of them. I'll just do it quickly. We could spend a lot of time on it. I'm not going to. I just want you to think about it. Acknowledge the benefit can be corrupted. Otherwise, I want you to know that this benefit, this thankfulness, this gratefulness can be corrupted. And maybe these are some of the reasons why we don't give thanks. First is being short-sighted. No faith to trust in the eventual benefit. No faith to trust in what God's doing. We're short-sighted. We can only see right now. See, that will keep you from believing in Romans 8:28. Short-sighted is called a lack of faith. We're just short-sighted. And if we can't see the benefit right now, then there's nothing to be grateful for. Shame on us. You and I live by faith, substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The promises of God. Doubtful about the character of God. Doubtful that God's word can be trusted. Doubtful that the promises God have made are for me. It's just called a lack of faith. A lack of faith or being short-sighted will keep you and me from being a grateful, thankful people. Secondly, selfishness. But I just put selfish. You want your own way. I mean, seriously. You're the measure of everything. Sometimes we just become so arrogant that we just think we're the right and the wrong. We're the foundation. We just determine what's good and what's bad. I don't want this and I don't want that. And I don't want the other thing. And I don't like the way my spouse is, and I don't like the way my kids act, and I don't like my job, and I don't like the way the church is run. Just selfish. As long as we get our way, maybe we can be thankful. Well, let me give you a hint. You're old enough to know this. You're not going to get your way a lot. Do you ever notice that? If you're only going to be thankful when you get your way, I wouldn't plan on thanking too often. Thirdly, sensual. I put S's on you. You say, well, there would be a better word. I know there would be a better word, but I want it all S's, okay? So it's my message, all right? So sensual, I would call it worldly if I was using W's. People just not interested in the spiritual. Love of the world and the world's things. Vision filled with trivial and temporary things. And I believe when you're thankful and grateful, it's because you're satisfied. When you're sensual and you're living your life according to the world, you're never going to be satisfied. The Bible tells you that. The eyes of man are never satisfied. We should know that. And you say, oh, but we're satisfied for a while. We buy a new car, we're satisfied for maybe 2 years. Maybe a year we won't eat hamburgers in it. By the second year, it's hamburgers, milkshakes, fries, and kids. Because why? Well, the newness is worn off. So the sensual, the worldliness, I just don't believe you're going to be a thankful person when you're not satisfied. We're going to have to find ways to be satisfied besides in this world. See, in the situation I just said, money became before moral convictions. In this situation between the government in New Mexico, the government in Arizona, money came in between moral convictions. There should be a moral... Folks, listen to me. This is not Democrat or Republican. Come on now, don't put that tag on it. This has nothing to do with Democrat or Republican. This has whether you're American or anti-American. This has to do whether you're thankful what this country has been, what it is, or you're unthankful. I don't care what your upbringing was. I was poor as a... I don't know what when I was a kid. The advantage was I didn't know I was poor. No one told me I was poor. So I was happy. Now I think you all owe me some reparations. All right? I'll be at the back door tonight, okay? So fourthly, because I told you we'd hurry. Seared. What seared means? No feeling for the spiritual. You're cold, uncaring, no diligence, no burden, no care for other people's well-being. You know, this is a great crowd tonight. I mean, Wednesday night's probably the favorite time for any preacher to teach. People are here tonight really want to be here. And I think people that come to Sunday school want to be there. I'm not sure about 11 o'clock hour. I think there's a fair amount of people that come, don't necessarily want to be here, but they feel they ought to be here. It's Sunday morning. And so I would guess this doesn't fit, I would think, maybe for this crowd, but we get to that place where we just don't have any spiritual fire anymore. We're just kind of cold. We come to church, we hear messages, they roll off of us like rain off a duck's back, if you will. We hear them time after time after time. Good messages, solid messages, building messages, convicting messages, comforting messages, and we walk out undone. Now, I don't mean you. I really don't. I'm just saying us, Christianity, because of being seared. We're just seared. What's happened? We get seared, I think, sometimes because we come so often and never do anything that we get used to coming and not doing anything. Just like you can sear your conscience in sin. You get so used to... like putting your hand on a stove and you get that scar on it you can't feel. I think people get used to sin so much that they don't become even conscious of it anymore because their moral consciousness has been seared. I don't think we'll be a thankful people when we're cold and uncaring. We don't care about anybody else. Five. Here's a great word. How about symptomatic? I had to get an S somewhere. Symptomatic of what? Symptomatic of our outright rebellion against God. Flat out angry at God. We don't like what He's doing. I don't like the way you made me. I don't like the talents you gave me. I don't like the opportunities you gave me. I don't like the church you gave. I mean, we're just angry at God. I don't like the health you gave me. I don't know why you brought this into my life. It's like that couple that sued their doctor for $50 million for wrongful birth. Wanted their child dead. Unfortunately, they didn't abort the child when it was in an embryo, because the doctor failed to tell them that this child may be deformed. Turns out the child was deformed. 5 years later, they sued the doctor and were awarded $50 million for wrongful birth. Wow. I mean, those people aren't saved. I don't even know who they are. I'm just going to tell you my judgment from the throne up here is that those people aren't saved, all right? But it's just, I mean, that's why in that list we saw, there are unthankful people in it. You know why? Because they're rebellious. They don't want God in their life. That's the law. The ungodly don't want God. They're rebellious. But folks, you and I ought not to be that way. We ought to be so angry at God we can't thank Him for what He's given us, what He's made us, what He's allowed us to do, the shortcomings He's given us. And sometimes we get used to that we all should be the same. Every one of us should be able to sing, play the piano, preach, teach Sunday school, do this. Every one of us should all be able to do the same thing. Guess what? We can't all do the same thing. And if you're angry at God, you're just rebellious. You're not going to be thankful. If you're not happy with your nose, how are you going to thank God for it? Sorry to bring that up, okay? If you can't be thankful for my nose, it's none of your business, okay? And then lastly, number six, and this will make you happy because it's the last one, self-absorption. You're just absorbed with yourself. It's called pride, egotism, and arrogance. It's called in our world today entitlement or a critical spirit, bitter and negative. Everything's wrong. Everything, victim, victim, victim. Every time you open your mouth, that word slips out. I'm a victim, I'm a victim, I'm a victim. And if you don't say it, you're thinking it. Because you're being taught to think that. That's why, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might be able to prove what is a good, acceptable, perfect will of God. And remember what I said when I was a kid? I'm serious, we were poor. I don't give a rip. I'm not back there now. But I did not know I was poor because no one told me I was a victim. I had a pretty good life. Had great parents. Oh, they had a great kid. My brother. People who are ungrateful tend to be characterized by an excessive sense of self-importance, arrogance, vanity, and an unquenchable need for admiration and approval. Narcissists reject the ties that bind people into relationships or reciprocity. They expect special favors and feel no need to pay back or pay forward. I'm going to read some to you and then we'll quit. I'm going to read from a secular website. Believe it or not, this website is called greatergood.berkeley.edu. You ever heard of Berkeley? Would you say Berkeley is conservative or liberal? My arms aren't long enough to show you how liberal, okay? But listen to this. Research has proven that gratitude is essential for happiness. But modern times have regressed gratitude into a mere feeling of retaining its historic value, a virtue that leads to action. Just as great philosophers such as Cicero and Seneca conclude in their writings, gratitude is an action of returning a favor and is not just sentiment. By the same token, ingratitude is the failure to both acknowledge receiving a favor and refusing to return or repay the favor. Just as gratitude is the queen of virtues, ingratitude is the king of the vices. I'm impressed that comes off a secular website. It's there. You see, gratitude isn't just a feeling. That's why Paul didn't say, be grateful in everything. He said, give thanks in everything. Grateful is my attitude. Thanks is my will, God of will for me to express to you, to God, to whoever is affecting me in my life. To be spiritual enough, to be well-mannered enough, to know how to say thank you. Bow your heads with me tonight. We're not going to be able to sing an invitation song, but Brittany, if you'll just play through a stanza of any hymn you want to choose, Brittany. And I'll lead us in prayer. We'll ask you to stand in just a moment, not yet. Brittany will play. We're not going to be singing, but we cannot close without an invitation, give you an opportunity to come to this altar and to do what maybe has spoken to your heart tonight. Father, work on our hearts. We praise you for the message that Paul's given us. We really want to be grateful and thankful people. Work in this group tonight. Help us in our conviction to respond to you and minister through your Spirit to our spirit tonight in this invitation time, Father, in Jesus' name. Let's stand.